Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Hank?
Nothing much, man. Excited to be back with you, my man.
Oh, I see. Likewise, I see you got you. That means your first take. What do you got today?
So I do have first take after I'm done with KJM.
Now, do you have a show? It's a fantastic show in the afternoon. It's called This Just In. Guy host can't host it all, but good-looking guy, eye candy dude. Are you on that show later on today?
Well, it depends on if that guy wants me on the show, because I always want to be on his show. Always.
He wants you on the show. It's a special time at 3 p.m. 3 p.m. today.
I'm there. Say less.
So say less. By the way, say less, which I just learned about, like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something. I don't remember. It's one of the best new expressions in years.
And they have a restaurant here called Say Less also.
How long has that been out?
It's only been open, I think, like a year.
Yeah, I'm an old man with kids now.
I've been twice. You have to go. It's phenomenal.
No, I'm saying, how long have you heard the expression Say Less?
Oh, for a very long time.
It was like news to me. Say Less. Well, that sounds good.
Don't tell your age,
Instead of
Max.
Say no more, say less.
Say less.
Yeah, what am I, in the streets now? I got three kids. All right, look. On a more serious note, no big surprise. Deshaun Watson, we knew that the lower end of what he could possibly get was six games. So, of course, that's what he got. Six games. And I'll just say, this is the NFL statement on Watson. I'll read it to you first. Pursuant to the CBA, the NFL, or the NFLPA, Players Association, on behalf of Watson, may appeal the decision within 3 days. In light of her findings, the league is reviewing Judge Robinson's imposition of a six-game suspension and will make a determination on next steps. What are your thoughts, Harry, off the top?
I thought it was going to be more of a stiffer penalty for Deshaun Watson. I know the NFL wanted a year. I thought it would be at least a year, but prematurely hearing the NFLPA put out that statement early yesterday and hearing other rumblings around the National Football League, I knew it was going to probably be between 4 and 8 games. The thing that bothers me about the findings that Sue L. Robinson had in her statement and stuff is that one of the things she stated is that the patterning of conduct is more egregious than ever reviewed before. Things like Deshaun Watson is not a repeated offender. But I also do believe she also took into consideration that the NFL has mishandled cases like this in the past as well. But it was three things that she found. Number one, sexual assault. Conduct that poses a genuine danger to the safety or the well-being of another person. And also things that were in the CBA that they felt like Deshaun Watson actually violated. Those were the three things that she found Deshaun Watson doing, and that led up to six games. Now, how that leads up to six games, I have no idea, Max. I really don't.
Well, I mean, the NFL went out and got an attorney who specializes not in this field of law, as members of the media have pointed out, but in, I think, intellectual property rights, patents or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they got their desired result. Maybe now they get to the NFL, can appeal and tack on an extra couple games and for once seem like they're being tough on this issue. The Browns clearly structured the contract after he was essentially a free agent because he wasn't going to Cleveland. Then they're like, what if we guaranteed you $230 million? So that's a bidding, really. You're going to the highest bidder.
Yep.
And so that's why the market exploded for quarterbacks the way it did, and he said it, $230 guaranteed. But in addition to that, the salary in year one is extraordinarily low because everyone, including the Browns, knew, even though they would deny it hilariously. No, that's not the reason we did it. I mean, come on, don't lie to everybody.
Facts.
So when he gets this suspension, he's not losing hardly any money off his contract. Now, he could even factor into the cost-benefit analysis all the settlements. And I realize, Harry, that a lot of times high-profile athletes settle these kind of cases, and that does not – you cannot infer from that guilt. It may simply be cheaper for them to settle, or they don't want bad publicity. They don't want it dragging on. Even if they believe the accuser is lying, they don't want lies out there about them, right?
Correct.
But this, again, is not one person he's settling with. It's 20-plus women. So, like, it's hard to turn your brain off. Unless there was some incredible conspiracy here, stuff was going on, and he got off, it seems to me, extremely light.
Well, I'll take it to another level, Max, because I played in the National Football League for 10 years. I've been out since 2018. That playoff year was my last year, 2017, 2018. And I can honestly say since 2008 up until this moment right now, I've only had three massage therapists, right? And that was one in Tennessee when I went to Tennessee with the Tennessee Titans, and then I had two here in Atlanta because if one couldn't make it, I would call the other one.
Anyone ever accuse you of anything on massage therapy?
Shut up, Max.
Right. I mean, that's the point. But it's because all of the Harry, it is possible, and I personally know people who've been accused that hasn't been true. Yeah. And in fact, they had evidence it wasn't true, so the accuser but because athletes are high profile targets.
Correct.
But again, and just because a crime is difficult to prove does not mean we lower the burden of proof, spite of the kind of social political atmosphere of the moment. Again, you said you had three.
But here's the flip side
of
it, though.
And no accusations. He had 20-something accusations.
Here's the flip side of it, though, Max. I'm picky about who massages me.
Right.
I don't like getting massages on vacation. I don't. I don't like getting massages on vacation because it's not the same as my masseuse that I'm accustomed to using when I'm at home. Not only that, though, Max, I've never got a massage without clothes on.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't. I've always had on a jock strap and shorts or shorts with underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never gotten a massage without clothes on.
Well, and by the way, for world-class athletes, these are not, a lot of times, just massages. A lot of times, these are physical therapists with some kind of background or training in anatomy and physiology in a way where they're actually working out problem spots in the athlete's body.
I get stretching, stretching as well.
And
it's for like 2 or 3 hours.
And
like
just
it's not
because
a short period
you,
of time.
Harry Douglas, were like, this is how I did it, that doesn't mean Deshaun Watson may
Correct.
Not do it differently. And I will not infer guilt from that. But I will infer guilt from very similar accusations from 24 different women.
Like, that's the thing. On. We're not talking about 1, 2, 3 people here. We're talking about 20-plus people.
Right. With basically the same story. So unless you believe in some crazy, airtight conspiracy here, he got off extremely light.
He should have never put himself in those situations, though. You're the starting quarterback of a franchise. You should really have 1 or 2 people working on you only.
Well, when you
not
say that,
on,
Harry.
Not going on Instagram.
You're going by the premise that he, in fact, believes he's innocent. And he does, but if you go by the premise that he has an issue here, then it's not an issue of, hey, you shouldn't put yourself in that position. He's putting himself in that position intentionally because he likes that position. Right? Like, that's what we're dealing with here. Either you believe him or you don't.
I can't argue that.
Will Jacoby Brissett be the guy for the Browns going forward? Because we're going to stay on Cleveland. He got 6-game suspension as of now. Harry, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess the NFL intervenes and he gets an extra couple games. I think it would be a very bad look for them if he doesn't miss close to half a season.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, Harry, if you were in a locker room with Deshaun Watson, given everything that happened, and by the way, I know that when you're at work, you have to compartmentalize things. You got to try to win. So I suspect the main thing is you care about if he can ball out or not, right? That's why I think the Browns knew, we can move mountains to get him, because in the end, what are people going to do? They're going to play with the guy. How would you handle it, though?
I'll say when you use the word professionals, that's one of the things that you have to dig deep into. as a teammate. Understand that there is a common goal here, and you're there to win and win a Super Bowl and try to contend for one. Do I have to like everybody that I play with? No. But I can be a good teammate and be cordial with that person. The dicey situation comes when one of those teammates go home and their wives feel a certain way, or one of their mothers feel a certain way, or their daughters feel a certain way. That's when it becomes a dicey situation, because that can put a lot of pressure on one of the teammates to feel a certain way about Deshaun Watson. But at the end of the day, when you're walking through those doors at that facility, when you're walking out there on Sundays, you want to be the best teammate possible. And he's a guy that you want to count on to get the job done and put you in the positions to actually reach a Super Bowl. But I'm telling you, man, because I've played with teammates who, you know, things weren't going well at home, and another teammate wife was close with the ex-wife, and now she doesn't want him to hang out with that guy. And that's the part to me that can get a lot of these guys. If they aren't close knit, and Deshaun Watson doesn't have those talks amongst his teammates, and we don't know if he's already has, but if he hasn't, he has to have those talks amongst his teammates, because you want to know who's rocking with you and who's not rocking with you.
The other thing is, and this is human nature, I think we've all experienced this, you may have a certain, well, first of all, a piece, or in this case, a pathology, right? Like if even some or most of the accusations are true, and there are so many from different women, it seems to me hard to think that none of it is. That doesn't permanently disqualify somebody from re-entering society. Of course, you'd like some kind of contrition or kind of reckoning of what happened. And in his case, because he's professing his innocence, that hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. But even so, what I find is you respond mostly as an individual to the way another individual treats you. Even if you know that they've done bad things or you're not supposed to like them, if they treat you well, human nature is to reciprocate that. So I think that my guess would be, if he holds his own in the locker room, which I'm sure he will, his teammates will like him a lot. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry, I almost messed up my own name. Harry Douglas in for Key and Jay today here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Deshaun Watson will miss at least 6 games to start the season. Jacoby Brissett is the backup. We know that there is at least one quarterback who, when he is healthy, Harry Douglas, when he's healthy, I'm trying to think if there's any quarterback who has in his last 2 seasons been deeper in a combination of those seasons in the playoffs than Jimmy Garoppolo. Is there any single quarterback? Not Tom Brady.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes didn't make the Super Bowl. Was 2 years ago? Did they make the Super Bowl and Brady blew him out when he didn't have his offensive line? Was that 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
I think that was 2 years ago.
So Mahomes went to the AFC Championship game.
Four straight.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the last 2 years he's healthy. Last 2 years Garoppolo's been healthy. He came one throw away from winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Closer than Mahomes came in the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. And then he got to the NFC Championship game. I don't think there's a quarterback who's been deeper in the playoffs when he's been healthy in the last two healthy seasons than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's available, apparently, to anyone for next to nothing. Jake Trotter, ESPN Browns reporter, here on this very program. Listen to this.
I wouldn't completely rule it out. I mean, I think that they'll have a discussion about maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, since there don't seem to be a lot of other suitors right now. You know, maybe he comes cheap. Maybe they can rework the deal. But right now, I think the plan is Jacoby Brissett. And I think they feel like six games, they can ride it out. You know, the schedule is pretty favorable the first month of the season. They feel like they could maybe be at 4-2, give or take, by the time Deshaun Watson comes back, which would keep him squarely in the mix. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I think right now the plan is Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, I think Brissett is a good backup quarterback. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a good starting quarterback.
When you look at the two guys, well, first I will say this, Deshaun Watson only being suspended six games, that's what we know it is right now as it's constructed. We still don't know yet if the NFL is going to appeal and try to add more games to that. But knowing that it's only going to be six games, I don't see the reason why they would go get a Jimmy Garoppolo, especially when how your team is constructed. You look at the run game and how valuable it is. You have Nick Chubb, and we've all seen Nick Chubb, right? Squat 600 pounds, so we know the kind of running back that he is. He is a workhorse. Then you have Kareem Hunt. You have a two-headed monster there. You have a solid offensive line.
They're the only team in the league with two legit high-level number one running backs. Both those guys could be bell cow star running backs.
And then Kareem Hunt does it in the pass game as well. So you can utilize him as a number one running back, or
he runs hard,
a pass catcher coming out of the backfield
well.
So we all know what he did when he was in Kansas City and Andy Reid's offense, coming out of the backfield, going up the seam, catching footballs of whatnot. But you look at the Browns offensive line, one of the best in football. Mm-hmm. They have two solid tight ends, mm-hmm. and Harrison Bryant and David Njoku, who they just gave an extension to.
Who can catch.
So when you look at that, and how the offense is constructed. Not to mention, you have a top five defense from a year ago, and that defense, I think, this year is going to be even better with Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward being the anchors of that defense. I don't see sense in going to get a Jimmy Garoppolo. Plus, and I said this yesterday, if I know San Francisco is trying to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, and they came out in the media, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, that Trey Lance is their guy, why am I trading? If I'm any NFL team, why am I trading for him? I'm going to wait till they release him, and then I'm going to go get him.
Well, if it costs you a sixth-round pick and you can work out some deal where you don't – I mean, you pay a little bit of money, but it just – like if someone's – if I really wanted Garoppolo and I thought, but it's to make sure I get him as an insurance policy, it's going to cost me an extra $5 million in a sixth-round pick, but that guarantees I get him, I'd do it. But it's a good point, though. Deshaun's going to come back at some point, and now what do you have Garoppolo for? I will say this. The running game, the offensive line, and the defense, what that tells me is mess around, Jimmy Garoppolo never lose. That's the name of the game for Jimmy G.
And here's what a lot of people don't understand is that Kevin Stefanski came from the Gary Kubiak system, right? Gary Kubiak played for Mike Shanahan when he was in Denver behind John Elway. So it's the Shanahan system. So it's all you're doing is
they're cousins.
Play. Yeah.
It's not exactly
it's not the same
tree, but they're cousins.
There's a lot of similarities to it. So the learning curve for Jimmy G, if he actually went to Cleveland, wouldn't be as steep as a lot of people probably may perceive or think because of the fact that things are so similar. But when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo and the way he's had success in the past with the San Francisco 49ers, a run game, misdirection, right? A great defense, pass rush. That's the way Cleveland is constructed. And if Deshaun Watson would have been suspended for an entire year, I would even say 12 games, though, Max. If Deshaun Watson was suspended 12 games, I would have went out and got a Jimmy Garoppolo because you have a win-now roster. You have a roster that can contend for a Super Bowl, and you don't want to waste that. And I'm pretty sure players feel the same way. You don't want to have an opportunity to go to a Super Bowl and possibly win it, but you don't have the one piece that you need. Not saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is a world beater, but he has proven that he can get it done with a, number one, a run game, an offensive line, and a solid defense.
Once again, I will point out, the last two – I know I'm – look, because Garoppolo's obviously not the best quarterback in football, but I'm being a little slick here.
Yeah.
But it is a fact. Two of the last three seasons, he's been healthy. In each of those seasons where he's been healthy –
correct.
He, if you combine those two season playoff runs, has made has gone farther in the playoffs than anyone else, really including Patrick Mahomes, because he came a throwaway from winning the Super Bowl. Mahomes and them got routed, right? So I understand all he's doing all that. It's the run game and the defense and everything. But
and you can even add this, though, Max.
Yeah.
We seen Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game not be himself in the second half.
That's right, recently.
Jimmy Garoppolo last year was an interception away from going to another Super Bowl.
It's insane.
Like another one.
Yeah, it's insane. Look, that's what I'm saying.
Not comparing Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes.
No, of course not.
But
Garoppolo does certain things. Garoppolo reads defenses extremely quickly and gets the ball out quickly. And you go along. If you have a quarterback who can do that and you have a defense and a running game, boy, you can go far. Now, here's the thing, Cleveland. If the Browns quarterback this whole time was Jimmy Garoppolo, you'd have already made some playoff runs. You wouldn't have won a Super Bowl, most likely. But you might have been San Francisco, come a throwaway. And then what you might have done is looked at Garoppolo and thought, yeah, he's good. We go deep. We want to go over the top. And then you would have gone out and gotten Deshaun Watson, right?
Yep.
All I'm saying is, while Deshaun's not there, you could do a whole lot worse than Jimmy G. 877. 888. I keep saying 877. I'll tell you why. Because ESPN LA radio, which I did for 6 years, was 877. It's 888. Say ESPN. 888-729-3776. What do you think, Cleveland, or Browns fans, or football fans? Should the Browns go out and get Jimmy G? 888-SAY-ESPN. And by the way, why the Cowboys' biggest X factor is the guy who hasn't been himself in a long time. An X factor who got his money, who they're relying on. It may not be who you're thinking about. Then again, it might be. You got like two options.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Dak got paid all this money.
He
we
did.
Already know he's good. The question has always been, can he be great?
I think Dak checks all the boxes. If you're grading him on a 1 to 10, he's a great leader, great in the locker room. Players respond to him. Good decisions.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Front rim on the waste paper basket just then, Harry. Unfriendly rim right there.
Almost.
Yeah.
I hit the back. But I shot it with my left hand, though, man.
You did. You shot a fadeaway with your left hand. It was impressive. And that was a real unfriendly rim. You hit the back of the rim and bounced out. Yeah. It's a pretty good shot.
Come on, studio.
From where you're sitting, too. Want to see the waste paper shot on TV? From where Harry's sitting? Can we see that? No, that's us. Waste paper basket's over there.
Yeah. It's basket's all the way. Right underneath
zoom
the TV.
Out, zoom out, zoom out, zoom out, zoom out.
Keep
zoom
going.
Out. Where is it?
Keep going.
Can't even see it. Can't even see it. It's such a far shot. That's right. Harry Douglas, brother, played in the NBA.
Booyah.
Sure did for the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he could have played for a good franchise.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Athletic family, man. You make the NFL, and you were a baseball prospect, too, and your brother makes the NBA. Damn, and you aren't even that big. What's going on with
you? My brother's big.
How tall is your brother?
My brother's about 6'2 and a half,
yeah,
approaching 6'3, but he's like
that's only big for you and me,
but he's like rocked
people.
Up, like
yeah,
abs on top of abs on top
but
of
he's your
abs,
big brother or little brother?
My little big brother.
Your little big brother.
My best friend too, though.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We do everything together.
Same sort of thing.
The thing, like growing up, like having a professional football player, professional basketball player, there's like, we can understand one another like in every aspect of life. Like, more so than like anybody else could. Like, so that was like one of the beauties about having a brother that played a professional sport.
I want to explain something to pedestrians out there, civilians, right? They didn't play, nor did they have anyone in their family who played on the highest level. If you think your kid is going to make the NBA or the NFL, do you under, or like even like now people like go to like tennis or golf. Oh, maybe they can't make the, but they can be tennis players or golfers. No, they can't be. Not anymore. There are third generation, like the Douglases, right?
Like, I'll be honest with you. My brother's kids, like his boys, all of his boys, were shooting in a 10-foot rim, and they're all lefties by age two.
Right. They're
by age two now.
But
think
now,
about
I'm not, listen, I want to be very clear about this, especially a white guy talking about this on the radio, right? Like, I get it. Athletes work extremely hard. Student athletes, it's unbelievable how much harder they work than everyone else on campus. Oh, they just get to kick their feet up. They don't have to go to class. People don't know. Not only do they have to like try to graduate a lot of the time, if it's important to them or their families or just to stay enrolled, but they're getting up so many hours before everyone else and putting in so much physical work and then mental work to do it, and then also having to study and get out of school, right? So I'm not discounting the work it takes. But I am saying, boy, there's a genetic difference, too, between a world-class athlete. Yeah, if you – like, I have friends who played at the highest levels of sports, and, like, our kids play together. And from the earliest age, if they're running around with their shirts on, like, what's this kid lift weights? Like, he's 2 years old. How'd that happen?
That's how my daughter is, though, man. She does gymnastics, and my wife owns a dance studio, so she dances at her dance studio. But just her muscles and her body. And then my son, he just picked up a baseball bat. And he does everything right-handed, but bats left-handed. And just natural swing the baseball bat. I throw the ball up in the air. He hits it.
Keep him lefty.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of teams need him. Yankees.
So, right. So in other words, so like between you and your brother, the odds are you're going to have a bunch of kids who play at a very high level. However high the level remains to be seen, but it's going to be a very high level.
And here's the most important thing. We don't have to push our kids because all of the cousins, like – they push one another.
Right.
Like they see each other doing things, so they want to do the things that the other cousins are doing. So they push one another in those regards.
It's like my daughter. She's a great athlete. She plays couch ball. That's where you sit on the couch on your device. My other one plays TV ball. That's where you watch TV, has a ball watching TV. nothing ball, as you don't do anything. Like, what are you doing? Why don't you go outside? Come on, come outside. Speaking of playing at a high level, Harry Douglas, is Ezekiel Elliott actually the biggest X factor to the Cowboys' success this season? X factor. He got paid all that money to be. Whenever you pay a running back top dollar, I hate to say this, running backs, if you're listening, there should be an exception in the CBA for you. There should be a separate way you pay running backs. It doesn't count against the cap, so running backs can get paid. But, man, the Gurley contract mistake, the Zeke contract mistake, the McCaffrey contract mistake. Saquon's got to be sitting there going, I hope I have a bounce back year, and they give me a contract. Probably winds up being a mistake. Like, it never pays off.
Damn,
running backs are good. Running backs are, and I love Saquon, running backs are great early, and they get run into the ground at 3, 4, 5 years, and then they're not elite anymore after year 4 or 5 usually. Is Zeke the X factor here?
That's a dicey question because I will always sit up here and say that the most important position on the football field is a quarterback, and when you have a franchise one, you have somewhat of a chance. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and the way they're constructed, especially over the years, I think Zeke is very, very important to what they want to do. And I will sit up here, and we had this conversation last week. I can't sit up here and say I want Dak to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game and expect the Cowboys to have a successful season. I don't think it can be that. They have to do
it. I only gave him $100+ million. You can't expect that.
I hope. I mean, but that.
Quarterback to win you the game, throwing the ball? How could that be?
But think about the market, though. Like, we have a handful of quarterbacks that can drop back 35, 40 times.
When he got paid, he got paid at the top of the market. Just okay, wait. Let me just amend that. You have to put Mahomes in a separate category.
Separate category.
Because he's so much better than these dudes. So, like, accepting Mahomes, he got paid at the top of the market, Dak.
He did, but Mahomes is a guy that, I mean, if he has to throw the football 35, 40 times a game, you know you have a chance of winning that game. The way the Dallas Cowboys are constructed, they have CeeDee Lamb as their number one. James Washington just went down with a foot. They don't have to rely on a rookie, Jalen Turbert from South Alabama, who I was very high on when he was there because he can play inside, he can play outside, and he do a lot of different things on the football field. They also have a guy, Ty Freifogel, that they got out of Indiana.
Harry, let me stop you right here. Let's rewind a little bit.
What's up? Talk to me, Max.
Are you claiming, let's not get too deep in the weeds.
Here we go.
Are you claiming
here we go.
That due to roster construction, Ezekiel Elliott featuring him, and if he has a big year, gives you a better chance to win due to roster construction, or are you claiming that Dak Prescott is simply not the kind of quarterback, even if you had a couple extra receivers, that you want throwing it all over the field because he's not good enough to win that way? And Zeke, you are good enough to win that way if you feature Zeke and he gets back to being what he was. So that's the first question. The next question is, do you believe Zeke can still be what he was?
I think he can. I still think Zeke has a lot in the tank.
See, what you just did, this is a classic mistake you're supposed to not do.
When you do an interview. I'm not finished.
No. I gave you two options. You took the easy one. That's why you never give. And then let's start with Dak.
Are you claiming me give you my answer.
Are you claiming?
Why are we
doing the cross-examining here. Where were you on the night? All right, look. Are you claiming that roster construction is why you don't want Dak throwing it all over the field? Or it just ain't Dak.
I think the way the roster is constructed, in hindsight, you don't want your quarterback passing the ball that many times a game. No matter who it is. Yeah,
okay.
If you don't want to win.
So it's not an indictment on Dak.
No.
Okay. So now let's get to Zeke.
Yeah, and you want to be more balanced. And when I mean Zeke should be the focal point of this run game, it's because I still think he has a lot in the tank. And when I look at the numbers, right, when Zeke has over like 300-plus carries in a season – one season he had over 1,600 yards. One season he had over 14. The other one he had over 1,300 yards. When it's less than that, that's when we don't see the Zeke that we're accustomed to seeing when he has those 300-plus carries. Now, granted, Zeke has to be healthy.
We don't see – he's a back who needs a lot of touches to get in a rhythm. Is that what you're saying?
Well, from –
fewer touches you get, the less fewer yards you're going to
have. If we're looking at the numbers, the last 2 years – Ezekiel Elliott hasn't had the 300-plus carries.
But that's partly because you got a guy on the team who's more explosive right now than him.
Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't do it by running back by committee.
So is a committee...
That doesn't mean you can't have both guys in the game at the same time.
Is it running back by committee because Zeke is no longer what he was, never to return?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it running back by committee, he got banged up, they didn't have the game plan, da-da-da-da. Is he still Ezekiel Elliott in there from a couple years ago?
I think it's still in there. I honestly do. And I would ask this question to a lot of people who look at the other running backs, that look at Saquon and look at Christian McCaffrey. Do you think Christian McCaffrey is going to have a good year, a decent year?
I think if Saquon and McCaffrey are – well, here's what I don't know in the NFL because things happen so fast. When they were last healthy, I thought I would clearly rather have Saquon and McCaffrey, like Saquon's rookie season, than anyone in the league. Because they could do so many things and they were so explosive. But I got the feeling like if you ask, like his peers felt that Zeke was the most valuable back. There was something about the way he ran between the tackles.
Because when he gets downhill and he bangs you, you're going to feel it as a defender. You're going to feel that thump. Let's not minimize, though, as well. Zeke did a hell of a job in the pass game.
Yeah.
Catching screens and getting downhill. And once you get to those secondary guys, when you see a guy like Zeke, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, you see guys like
that second
at
level.
The second level, you're making business decisions. And you don't want to tackle those guys because they are bringing that thump and they're running behind their pads. So I still think Zeke has enough in him to get the job done and be the featured back. But you can be dynamic in your run calls. I think Kellen Moore has to be more dynamic, especially when you have two phenomenal running backs and two guys that can – both of them can do it in the pass game. You have to find creative ways to get both of these guys involved. But I do believe, and I agree with Jerry Jones, Ezekiel Elliott has to play well. He has to be the feature back in this offense.
I think of running backs frequently as – you know, we think of clutch players a lot of times as shooters in the NBA, right? Because you can see the shot goes in or it doesn't. Or it's baseball, a hitter or a pitcher or something. A quarterback, is he going to make the big throw under pressure? Running backs, man, I think of like clutch backs. There are some dudes who seem to shine in the biggest games, and it's not just about scheme. I'm not just about John Riggins in the Super Bowl when I was a little kid. who was amazing, but clearly the team was built a certain way. They, I'm talking about Ezekiel Elliott in college, right? Like, the bigger the stage, the better he played. He just shined in the biggest moments. I'm thinking about Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who was like, man, is he worth the big money? He doesn't catch the ball like certain guys, But come playoffs with the Bucks, boy, he balled out.
And he's another one. When he catches that ball in the pass game and he gets to that second level, that you don't want to tackle if you're a secondary guy as well.
So Zeke is a clutch player. I think of him as a clutch player. He had the respect around the league as the guy who most, I think, NFL players would take as their running back.
Well, they haven't had many clutch games. Like,
they haven't had a lot.
But you're looking at the overall spectrum, going back to college as well. Because we've got to remember, he did play with Cardale Jones. It's not like they had a number one QB.
Right.
I think Cardale Jones was, what, the number three quarterback?
Yeah,
when
he could.
When they won that national championship?
He threw a deep ball, though, but yeah, yeah.
I mean, but you got to make a play every
Big
now and then.
Big old Cardale.
Every now and then, you got to make
downfield.
Please just make one or two for us.
I think, but really what I want to know, Harry, is, you know what my mind always goes back to is just, I've been influenced by certain pop culture sports. You know, I didn't play, so I go back to, remember the show Playmakers on ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was such a good, I don't remember a lot about the series, but I thought it was interesting, and especially there was one scene that's always stuck with me about the star running back comes back, there was only one season, but first episode. And they drafted a young kid, but last on the field, he was a star, right? Maybe, yeah. I don't remember if he was coming off injury. And they played him tape, and it was like, you are 0.0-something seconds slower than you used to be. Mm-hmm. And that is the difference. And they played the hole being open and the hole closing, right? So when people say, I think that's why people say he lost a half a step. You don't want to say to the naked eye he's much slower, but that's what I'm trying to figure out from you about Zeke.
But he wasn't healthy last year.
Athlete eyeball test. Yep. You believe that he's the same dude if he's healthy, or can be the same dude, that hole will still be open? Or is there, because especially at that position, which is so easy to replace, they just draft a guy who's young and fast. Could he possibly be the same guy?
Ooh, that's tough, because when you have the tread that he has on his body now, and then you factor into the injury that he had last year, there's a possibility he can be close to it. Being the same guy, especially coming off an injury, I don't know if you're going to be 100% the same guy.
Oh.
But there is a percentage in there that you are close to it.
NFL, not for long. Not
especially
for
at the running
long.
Back position. That's why people like Kyle Shanahan and them, they don't really, you know, use high picks on running backs. They feel like the system and the scheme and the offensive line, they can plug in a free agent, a guy 6th, 7th round, and they're going to be productive. And the proof is there.
David Newton, ESPN Panthers reporter with us now. Harry, David, good morning. David Newton?
Yep.
Oh, there he is. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Okay, good. I want to play some Baker Mayfield from his press conference, and listen to Baker.
That honestly is none of my business. I don't play against the other quarterback. I know it's the most cliche thing to say, but that's just the truth. When it comes down to it, I'm game planning against their defense, and if I'm playing or not, I'm trying to help this team win, and that's my mindset going into it, so I got to keep getting better. But I'm not focused about week one right now. I'm working on each day, each install, and continuing to get better, and we'll handle that when it comes. But for now, it's about getting the Panthers better and our offense continuing to get better as well.
Obviously, week one, Panthers are Mayfield's new team, playing his old team, the Browns, but Deshaun won't be there. That was Baker responding to not playing Deshaun week one. What'd you think of that response, David?
I'm just wondering when Baker is finally going to let loose and just say what's really on his mind, because he's always done that throughout his career, and he hasn't really done that, so he's kind of bitten his tongue here. But it just showed the discipline he's got right now and how focused he is on trying to win a job. Maybe he's been humbled a little bit by the situation he's in, but it really was intriguing to me. I wish I'd have followed up more and just said, hey, is this really what you think, or do you feel like that it really is none of your business? Because I don't think it is.
David, being out there at training camp with the Carolina Panthers, what are some of the things that you have already seen from Baker Mayfield as he's trying to earn the trust, not only of the coaches, but his teammates as well?
Well, I think that he's sort of fit right in, and he's not going out there and trying to be in the flamboyant guy that is going to cause trouble in the locker room or anything. He's really befriended a lot of guys. He's been real helpful with Sam Darnold. Those two have been, I hate to say buddies almost, but they've been really helpful for each other because they've gone about their business in a very professional way, as everybody says. And I was really skeptical that this was an open competition and a true quarterback competition, but it's starting to feel that way. Neither one of the quarterbacks are showing they have an edge over the other. Although I thought in yesterday's practice, Baker showed a little more when he did some red zone drills with the pads on. He had three touchdown passes. Darnold didn't have one, and it seemed like he had a little bit of an edge there. But I haven't seen anything that's made him really stand out and say, hey, this is the guy that can lead this team. I think we won't probably see that until he actually gets into games.
Well, David, that's what we want to hear. I wish you would have led off with that. We want to hear in the red zone, Baker Mayfield throwing three touchdowns. Sam Darnold, he hasn't thrown any. That's what we want to hear. That's what the people want to know, David.
No, I agree. And those are the little things you start to look for because you're looking for somebody to separate from the other. And until yesterday, I hadn't seen anything that would separate one from the other. And in fact, you'd probably say Darnold had a little bit of an edge. I mean, and he should because he's been in this offense all offseason, and Baker's only a week into it. But, again, those are just the little things I'm looking for to see who's going to step forward and take this job away. I still think it's Baker's job to lose. I just don't see how they can make that trade and not give him the job once the season starts because they know what they've got in Darnold. They saw it last year. And the thing with Darnold is where he gets in trouble is when he gets into games and gets under pressure and he gets happy feet out there. Mm-hmm. I think Baker's a little more composed when he gets in those situations, and that's what they've got to have this season with the team they built around him.
David Newton, ESPN Panthers reporter. Before we let you go, fill in the blank, please. The week one starter will be
Baker Mayfield. I just can't see how it'll be anybody else.
All right, there it is. Straight from the well, our horse's mouth. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So there it is. I like that.
Eyes
on the competition is great. I love just when I'm driving around in the car listening to radio. I got it on ESPN. I hear a reporter talking about and he's watching Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold compete in practice.
But what he just said about the red zone, especially with the pads on and the quarterback's throwing, the offensive lineman and defensive lineman are going at it. You know, guys got to get open. DBs can tug the pads a little bit more because it's something that's exposed to them from the wide receivers. But hearing Baker Mayfield throwing three touchdown passes versus Sam Darnold throwing none, I think that's a big deal to me, especially when there's
good
this competition.
I hate to say it like this, but let me try. In baseball, you're probably familiar with this. It's called a 4A prospect. Mm-hmm. What's a 4A prospect? A lot of times in the old days, they'd wind up playing in the Japanese league because it's lower than the major leagues but higher than AAA, mm-hmm. right? So a 4A prospect's a guy who's tearing it up in AAA. Somehow it should translate to the majors because, you know, if you have a guy who's on base is 400 in AAA, let's just say, for example, he may get 350 on base in the majors. But for whatever reason, it's not translating in the majors. And that's called the 4A prospect. Like if there was a 4A, he would belong there, but not the major leagues. That's Sam Darnold to me. Sam Darnold's a 4A quarterback. He checks a lot of boxes and can flash in different things. And if there was a league right below the NFL but above college that was popular, he'd be a good quarterback in that league. But that's not the NFL. Baker Mayfield's a good NFL quarterback. He was top 10 QBR the last time he was healthy. You think that just happens by itself? He's a good quarterback. I'd be very surprised if it was Darnold week one.
I'd be surprised too. You don't make that trade. You don't make that move if you even have plans on playing Sam Darnold, starting him.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you just would have stayed with Sam Darnold.
Should the Browns go get Jimmy G? Is it worth it? Does he give you that kind of premium over Jacoby Brissett? Do you believe that Deshaun Watson's suspension really will be only six games? Can Brissett hold it down 3-3, 4-2 in those six games? So many questions. And Jimmy G is right there for the taking. Ooh, it's tempting, isn't it?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.